This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Boston Loose Baseball, we've got a move to discuss. The Nats went and got Trevor Williams, and you will hear from Trevor Williams on this podcast coming up right now.
This is Boston Loose Baseball with Grant and Danny. Interviews, analytics, and analysis on everything baseball in the nation's capital.
This is Boston Loose Baseball, and we told you that we would give you a new episode each time the Nats made a big move this offseason, among other times, where we're going to drop in just every now and then and update you on everything going on with the Nats. But Trevor Williams has been added to the fold, the 30-year-old right-handed pitcher, a San Diego, California native, originally drafted way back in 2013 by the Miami Marlins in the second round out of Arizona State, has been signed by the Nationals. Believe he's guaranteed $13.5 or so million over the next two seasons. At this point in his career, there are plenty of good teams he could make and pitch for where he would be a bit of a tweener. He would make some starts for you. He would pitch out of the bullpen as a long guy, kind of a stretch-type arm in that sixth role maybe for a championship-level organization. That's what he'd been doing with the Mets over the last year and a half, where he actually pitched admirably. He did some really good things. He had a 3.21 ERA 2022. He had a ERA a hair over four in 2021 overall, but with the Mets, 3.06 in 10 games with three starts. So you look at his time with the Mets, Danny, and there's some success. 12 starts, 40 games, a 3.17 earned run average, stays in the division. The Nats go get him, and he told reporters and he told us he is here to be a starting pitcher. So these are veteran innings that they needed. You put him into that rotation with the young guys, and hopefully you allow him to stockpile some frames and keep this bullpen a little bit fresher.
I think you said it very well. Profiles as a starter on a okay team. A mediocre team, or worse, I think, is where the kind of the Nats will end up being second division club. But he'll eat some innings, and I think that's really, really valuable. These are the exact kinds of signings that not only should this team be doing at this point, so I commend them for that. I think it's the right call. But secondarily, these are the kinds of value signings that Mike Rizzo has nailed so many times. And sometimes they go nowhere and nobody remembers that they signed fill-in-the-blank player for a couple million bucks as a lottery ticket, and then it ends up, you know, something that you tear apart, that horse racing ticket where the long shot didn't come through. Other times they've found guys that other people didn't want. They've found some good players over their, you know, kind of their history. Guys like Michael Morse, who came out of nowhere. There have been a number of those dudes. So Williams, I think, is a good pitcher. I mean, he's the starter's profile, the four-pitch mix, the fastball. He's got a sinker that he throws just over 10% of the time, changeup, slider, curveball, can throw, mix in a cutter there as well. I think sometimes maybe that slider and cutter intermingle. They, you know, one profiles as the other. But, again, he's got a starter's repertoire. I think he's going to help them. I really do. I like the idea of having another steady Eddie, arms eater, so you can protect guys like Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, some of the young pitchers that are really part of the furniture here for the future.
Yeah, that's, to me, where the value is, right? The Mets are too good for you to be in the rotation. I would say even a team like the Phillies, as pitching-starved as they are probably at a place in this division where Trevor Williams is not making starts for them. He'd make a few starts, and he'd mostly
pitch out
of the pen. But he'd be an extra guy. You have a doubleheader, he could make a start, or you need to stretch him out for three or four innings when he's normally giving you two or so out of the pen. You could do that. Same with the Braves. I mean, this is a sign of the times a little bit for the Nationals, that you bring him in and you tell him the job is his. But I'm sure that's what was enticing about Washington. He wants a chance to start. He's only 30. If over the next couple years he pitches really well and is a middle-of-the-rotation type starter in D.C., first off, he's probably getting traded before his contract would expire, and he's going to a contender. But, you know, worst-case scenario for him, he's here for a non-contending Nats team this season, maybe into next year, and he boosts his value at a point where you just saw Chris Bassett get huge money at 34.
That's right.
We've seen Verlander get 40-plus mil and Scherzer get 40-plus mil, close to 40 years old. I know those guys are aliens, and Trevor Williams is not that, but my point is you could still get paid at 32, 33 years old if you're coming off of, you know, a decent season. And we saw Kyle Gibson just get paid to leave the division from the Phillies and went to Baltimore to be a back-end starter, who's kind of a better version of Trevor Williams at this point in terms of what he's going to give the Orioles. So I like the move based on where they are. If this was the Nats of a few years ago when they're trying to win the division in the World Series, I think if he makes 25 starts for you, that's a bad sign. But now the more starts, the better. Because as you said, Mackenzie Gore has had some arm problems. You don't want to overwork him. You're going to have to be careful with him at times this season. Obviously, Cade Cavalli got shut down this past year. The idea will be to build him up all offseason, and the pitching program he's on in the spring is going to be critical to give him the arm strength he needs to navigate the whole year. But you might skip some of his starts, right? I mean, the one guy who's pitched enough at the major league level with health the last couple years you can kind of bank on being a 200-inning arm if you want to make the leap is Josiah Gray. But otherwise, are we sure Corbin's going to stay in the rotation all year? I mean, I think this is the year he transitions to the bullpen if he's not better than he's been over the last 3 years, and I don't expect him to be.
Nor I.
Are we sure Steven Strasburg's going to pitch at all?
No.
I mean, I would bet against that. So I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they didn't go out and get another arm like Trevor Williams. Remember what Davey told us. We had this event we did with him and Sean Doolittle, a couple of other guys, including former Nats great Matt Adams, at Nationals Park like a month ago now. And Davey said that he requested to the bean counters that be that he wanted two starting pitchers. Well, Trevor Williams is one.
There's one.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you find another guy like him. It's certainly not going to be one of the dudes available that everybody wants. They're not bringing in Carlos Rodon, obviously. That's not where they are. But you could bring in another tweener type and say, hey, we can guarantee you 20 starts.
And this is the sweet spot, right, for guys like Williams, who, as you said, on a first division club, you're out of the bullpen, you're making spot starts here and there, you're useful. But if you're trying to maximize your career arc, you take that short-term deal, get 170 innings, see if you can make 25 to 30 starts, and as you said, the Chris Bassett model, maybe you get yourself paid, maybe you demonstrate that you still have that kind of acumen. That's a good fit for somebody. It's one of those things, we talked about this on Grant and Danny. A couple years ago, the now Commanders signed a guy named Ronald Darby, okay? Why am I bringing him up? Ronald Darby at one point was a highly touted, you know, top draft pick, potential star, etc. Bunch of injuries, fell out of favor. Nobody really wanted him. Well, this is one of those things where the team goes, we'll give you a one-year deal. We'll get good play out of you. You'll get the chance to prove that you can still play, and then you get paid, but we got what we want. Everyone will get what they wanted out of it. And it made sense. And for a 7-9 team, they got really good cornerback play out of this guy, Ronald Darby. This is very similar to me, where Williams, again, probably could have stayed in this same role for a couple really good teams that I'm sure they would have wanted him, but that's, you know, a lower profile. That's not your $20 million a year that a Bassett's getting. That's something, you know, maybe half of that or less. And if you think you can get outs for an extended period of time as a starter, this is the path you take. This is an excellent opportunity for a team that's not going to compete to add positive assets here, where the gamble is certainly worth it. It doesn't break the bank. It's good for everybody. So yeah, I mean, this is kind of the bargain DVD bin that they're going to be shopping in. But actually, I happen to like this movie.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. I mean, he has been successful last year. People forget about, and this is almost irrelevant because it's so long ago now. He was awesome in 2018.
2018, made 31 starts.
Yeah, 31 starts, close to a couple hundred innings, I think. He won 14 games at a 3-1 ERA in the NL with the Pirates. So I think it's a worthwhile grab for the Nationals. This makes sense. This is the type of move that they should be making, you know, based on, regrettably, kind of where they are at this point. Some percentiles that are favorable to him from last year via Savant. Look, he's not going to get you to chase. I mean, the stuff just, you're not going out of the zone to swing at his pitches. Mm-hmm. 28th percentile there. Not a spin rate guy at all. Fastball spin, 35th percentile. Curveball spin, 21st percentile. And he's not going to throw hard. He's right around 90 miles an hour at this point. 16th percentile in velocity. But if you look at avoiding loud contact, he's done a really good job. You know, that's command. That's late movement. That's, I think, where in the strike zone he's able to locate.
It's pitch mix, too.
Right. Yeah. Sequencing. Average exit velocity, 65th percentile. Hard hit percentage, 57th above average. Expected batting average, 57th above average. Walk percentage. He did not walk guys. 77th percentile there. Even though he throws 90, he's got 82nd percentile extension. Which, for a guy that's not huge, he's 6'3 and 235, he's big, but he's not 6'6 or something. You know, it's pretty special, right? He's coming downhill right at you with some plane, and it looks like the ball's basically being released right in front of you. So, I mean, that's the breakdown on some of the you know, where he ranked among his peers last year. As you said, it's a five-pitch mix. It's 53% four-seamers, about 13%. Change-ups, 13% two-seamers, 11% sliders, and 9% curveballs. So he'll throw everything you got. I mean, there's not a word for this, like a crafty righty or, you know, junk baller is probably not the right thing, but he's going to unload the repertoire in every outing.
When Tanner Roark was right, it's a lot like this. Right now, Roark had that sinker, obviously that would you know lead to some early outs and some ground ball contact. But you haven't seen my curveball yet, and it's the top of the sixth. Here it comes for the first time. You know, for a get me over strike. Williams will pitch backwards, he'll pitch forwards, and kind of everything in between. As he's kind of moved through his career, I think he's become more and more comfortable, frankly, throwing all the different pitches for strikes and locating pretty darn well. As you said, he's just under a strikeout per inning guy, but you know, ball has to be in play. I wonder, though, just you and me sitting here talking in this really cramped room, I wonder how...
More cramped than normal, by the way.
Yeah, it's extra cramped.
Because mic one didn't work, so we're on mics two and three. So our knees are 4 inches apart.
Yeah, we're nearly holding hands at this point. And I want to order some appetizers for the table. I think, or I wonder, how not having shifts next year is going to play out for him with some of the ground ball contact, with some of the, you know, the balls in play metrics. I'll be fascinated to see. Not just him, but it's everybody.
Guys like him often want defense behind them, and it's very, very important. And the Nats defense, obviously, last year was not good. Hopefully having Abrams for the full year at shortstop helps. You know, I don't know what's going on with Luis Garcia. Is he at second, or what do they do? But he has not been a joy to watch there either. But I you know, the comp, I mentioned Kyle Gibson once, and it's funny, Baseball Savant mentions like other pitchers like this guy, and one of them is Gibson. And I think it's kind of a similar mix largely. Gibson throws a lot harder. But I know Kyle Gibson went to Baltimore, and he's a buddy of mine, and he told me one of the reasons he really liked the Orioles, wanted to compete, obviously, wanted a chance where he could start for a team that can make the playoffs. But defense was really important to him. And like, they're going to have to play defense behind this guy for him to have success, right? I think that was a big part of thriving after coming over from the Cubs where he struggled to the Mets was, you know, if the ball's hit in the infield, you're going to have to get an out. And it is going to be harder, I think, without shifts and some of those things. So that is something to track for sure. He led the league in home runs allowed, I think, in that pandemic year a couple years ago. That hasn't been nearly as big a problem since, but I mean, he would fit in well if it became a problem.
I was going to say, yeah, we got some competition here. Guys that have led the league in home runs allowed on the Nationals a couple times.
We know all about that. But he'll be in the rotation. So it looks as though right now, again, I'm not counting Stras. I will say, you know, Corbin, Williams, Gore, Gray, and then perhaps Cavalli. I think there's a chance maybe you go get somebody else. And that they would at least start the year, and you give Cavalli a few starts in AAA. I'm not saying he needs that, but I think that's possible.
They want to monitor innings or something.
Exactly. Yeah. If you want to be restrictive, I mean, they've been kid-gloving him to death so far. Maybe they'll continue doing that. And also, you know, you don't know who's going to be healthy. Is Gore going to get through
right.
camp? Is Cavalli going to get through camp? Are both going to be ready for the start of the year? I mean, they'll say yes, and I'm sure they're supposed to be. But, you know, someone might have to get shut down for a week here or there. So if you want to get through the season, you need eight arms to have five, right? So they're not done as far as I'm concerned on the pitching front.
With the current construction, so I'm with you. I think they get another guy too, just to, again, to round it out and to make sure that they can protect some of their younger guys in terms of innings. But I want two answers. Manager Paulson, so Davey Paulson,
yeah,
and then the real Davey Martinez answer. Opening day, who gets your ball? And who will get the ball? Who gets yours, and then who will actually get the real ball?
Well, I mean, Corbin will get the start, I would think.
Yeah, that's the real one.
As he did last year. Josiah Gray would start for me, I guess. He's kind of the face of this thing. You could get cute and go Mackenzie Gore, but I think Gray, just having been a fixture all of last year and kind of a linchpin for a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
deserves that leadership role. But, I mean, Corbin's the guy you pay.
Yeah.
He's the 2019 World Series holdover veteran. He's the guy that's helping some of these young guys find their way. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer in that regard, except it should be a brainer because—
That's kind of my point, right?
Yeah.
I'd like it to be a brainer. I'd like it to be, dude, we're going to skip a couple of your starts early on because we don't need it with some of the off days built in
totally.
for a while. But, yeah, they're going to— it'll be Top Gun style. They're just going to keep sending him up. So my bet is that he's the opening day starter, and it's going to be met with groans and— Yay, it's kind of like tepid applause. And then I think he'll be out of the rotation by June.
We told you you'd hear from Trevor Williams on this podcast. Here was our interview with the new right-hander with the Nationals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Long gone!
We wanted a couple starting pitchers added to this rotation. The first of them is Trevor Williams. He was with the Mets the last year and a half. one point in time was an all-star caliber arm with the Pirates in the National League, and he's now coming to the Nationals to be part of this rotation. Trevor, thanks for joining us on Grant and Danny. How's it going, man?
Of course, it's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure, dude. First, congratulations. Second of all, what was the process like, man? What were the recruiting pitches like? Who'd you talk to? Break it down for us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We're thrilled as a family. We're thrilled. We've always loved the D.C. area. We've loved visiting it there, and we're excited to call it our home for the next couple of years. But you know, as far as the process went, it was I was very fortunate to have a couple of suitors and that wanted me. And I'm the best opportunity for me was with DC. So I was more than thrilled to accept that and get a chance to post up in a rotation, for the next 2 years. And, you know, when free agency, there's always, we live in San Diego. So like for free agency, we have a bunch of different priorities and we were trying to get closer to home, but, you know, we're inching closer and closer to San Diego. So DC is a little further west than New York was, but it was, we were thrilled to go to DC and then make it our home.
Trevor, I got to imagine when you talk about fits and why the Nationals became more interesting and the fact to get back in the rotation full time, because you threw really well for the Mets, partially as a starter and a ton for them out of the bullpen. And that's a deeper team, right? Better right now, more arms. But you're going to get to pitch every 5 days in this rotation, I would imagine. I don't know if they said that and confirmed that. Just how big of a deal was that for you in the courtship?
Yeah, it was something that I really wanted to hold on one second.
Baby, I'm on the phone, baby.
Sorry, it's family season right now.
Dude, and very relatable to both of us.
I've got a one-year-old and a three-year-old. What do you got?
We have four, three boys, one girl. And, of course, the girl wants to come and hang out with me. But as far as courtship goes, I wanted to start. And I've been a starter my entire career until I was traded to the Mets. So I kind of had to learn on the fly. I thought I did a good job. And I'm thankful that the Mets trusted me in that position. But when I have an opportunity to when I have an opportunity to make that decision for myself, the Nationals called and made that happen. So I'm looking forward to posting up every 5 days. I'm looking forward to learn from the veterans on that staff and also the young kids. So I've always loved seeing the young guys on the Nationals the last year and a half. I've heard nothing but good things about them, and looking forward to seeing how bad they want to win.
When you broke in, and Trevor Williams is with us here on Grant and Danny, when you really broke in full-time rotation in 2017 in Pittsburgh, I want you to compare yourself now to Trevor Williams of 2017. Like, just stuff-wise, mentality-wise, the whole nine yards.
I think I have a few more gray hairs.
Sure.
Then I have had more children from there, so I think my stress level is a little higher. But I learned on the fly also in 2017. I came up in the big leagues and was fortunate enough to come up on a team that was young as well. Guys that I came up in the minors with, we all kind of got to grow up together in the big leagues. So I'm really thankful for that. How I am now is every year I'm adapting, and I don't have flashy stuff on paper, but I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of how to pitch and what my strengths are from 5 days to the next 5 days. So I'm looking forward to starting again, getting back on that horse as a starter into the rotation. And, you know, I like to think that I'm a better pitcher now than I was in 17 when I came up as a full-time starter. And I'm looking forward to showing that.
Trevor Williams just signed with the Nats. Official as of yesterday is going to be in their rotation, joining us on Grant and Danny. You mentioned you got three boys and a girl. What's the age range of the kids?
So our oldest is 7, and then our youngest just turned 1, so all in between. So we have fun, and we always, off-season is the family season, we like to say that, and the holidays are a special time, they're always magical. So we're in full swing right now, we're doing that, and getting all of our Christmas stuff up and at it, and they're more than thrilled to be going to the East Coast again, to a new city.
You're one shy of the full rotation, man. I'm not saying,
you know,
I'm just saying.
You know what?
You need one more to come, unless you want to pitch on short rest, bro.
Well, first we wanted to fill up a blackjack table when they were older, but now we're working on a craps table. So we're going to try and fill a craps table.
That's
and,
a good,
you know,
one.
Kids are good, and we're thankful that that we have a big family, and we're looking forward to adding.
For people that haven't seen Trevor or aren't familiar, he's got to be one of the most tatted up starting pitchers in the league, I think. The full sleeves on the left arm. But if memory serves, your pitching arm, they're zippy, or at least nothing that I see. Am I off base on that?
I have tattoos to make my 90-mile-an-hour fastball look a little more scary. So that's the real reason why.
Do you have any tats on your pitching arm, on the right arm?
I do. I have a raven as an homage to St. Benedict of Nursia. So that's when it makes my 90-mile-an-hour fastball look a little more scary coming out of the mouth of a raven. But yeah.
And is there anything cool on the left arm? Does everything have a specific backstory, or are you like, that looks cool, put that on my arm?
Everything was thought out, believe it or not. On my left arm, I have a St. Joseph's lily rod all the way up to I have St. Michael on my arm as well, to the Holy Spirit window at St. Peter's Basilica. On my right arm, like I said, I have the raven as an homage to St. Benedict of Nursia, and then on my left leg, I have the four evangelists, and then on my right leg, I have the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
So how do we get a Grant and Danny tattoo on you?
Miracles, probably.
Do we have to perform a miracle?
I want to do my full torso, so I'm thinking about maybe you guys could be like a three-headed dragon, and maybe there you guys face can be on there.
Yeah. Let's thinking two dragons this time, getting on. Trevor Williams with us here on Grant and Danny. Why is it important, in your own words, I'd love to hear this from you, why was it important for you to be a starter again?
I feel like that is what I'm best at. I love preparing for starts every 5 days. It drove me insane the last year and a half when I would prepare for a series and not pitch. And that's just, selfishly it drove me insane because I put all this time and effort into something and then I don't get to showcase that. But I think I'm best in a rotation. I think I'm best watching from the side and helping out that way. Helping starters, and the starting rotation is so, on the teams I've been in the past, is so tight knit where everyone has their own specific day and they put all their time and effort and energy from those 4 days in between into that one day. So to see how these guys prepare and see how they go to work, and watching these guys go to work on their day is something that I'm looking forward to being a part of. And it's something that I've always flourished in. I think I've shown that I've been a serviceable starter in the past, and I've shown that I could be a serviceable kind of swing guy in the bullpen too, but I think what makes a team better is when I'm in the rotation.
Trevor Williams of the Nats on Grant and Danny. Nationals obviously looking ahead this year. They're in rebuild mode, right? You're coming here to be part of what is trying to build this thing back up as a veteran at 30. I'm just curious, how you kind of make that make sense in your own head of, hey, I'm going to get my chances, but this might not be a team that's going to go out and be competing for the playoffs. Like, how do you make that work for you?
Well, I think there's no question that the NL East is a juggernaut division. I think there are a lot of good teams. I mean, shoot, we had three teams in the playoffs last year, just out of the NL East. I think when I was in Pittsburgh, we always played spoiler. I think when I was in the NL Central, the NL Central was kind of a juggernaut as well. There were two or three teams coming out of that division in the playoffs every year as well. So being able to play spoiler on a team is something that is fun and exciting, especially for a young team like that. And then the ability that I've experienced that before in the NL Central, I think hopefully translates this year and next year into the NL East with the Nationals. But it's a tremendous opportunity for everyone to post up and get their game reps at the big league level rather than in AAA or kind of making spot starts here and there. So I'm excited to see the Nationals flourish in the next 2 years. I've heard nothing but good things about the young guys that are coming up. Guys' opinions that I trust that have been on the Nationals in recent years say great things about it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the next wave of youngsters in D.C.
Trevor, I'm a believer that every human being has an eating contest food, where for whatever reason, they can eat more of that than like anybody else. For example, mine is cocktail shrimp. I've at one time, my personal record is 50 cocktail shrimp. I've never tried to go beyond that, but I feel like I could. Like if I was properly trained, I could do it. A, what do you think your eating contest food is?
I think 50 cocktail shrimp is disgusting.
But, yes, that's totally true.
I think if I were to enter a contest to an eating contest. Gosh, I think I would kill some rolled tacos. I think like some good rolled, like hard rolled tacos, I think is what I would dominate.
Very San Diego on brand answer. That fits. I will take that check mark. Favorite actor. Like if that dude makes a movie, you're seeing it.
You know what? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not a huge movie guy. I think I know like three actors. And I'm not like running to the movie theater. But I would love to have like Will Smith play me in my biopic.
Will Smith's going to play?
Yes.
Okay. I did not see that coming, but I like
I would
that.
Not have had that in the office pool.
Yeah.
Will Smith,
he's got the range. I think he can figure that out.
He can do anything.
Absolutely. What about your best friend in Major League Baseball? Guy that you are the tightest with. If you're getting married again tomorrow, he's your best man.
I think there's a lot of guys that I came up with the Pirates that can fill that. I just off the top of my head, Stephen Brault is one of those guys. Jameson Taillon's one of those guys. Chad Kuhl's one of those guys. And Joe Musgrove too. So those guys were I was the closest with. Even Josh Bell is a guy that is in my close circle and who's the guy that I reached out to that I really valued his opinion about coming to DC.
We love Bell.
Such a great
dude. Wanted him back. The Guardians got a great deal, by the way. $233 million. I'm fired up for him and for Cleveland. That's a good little fit there. All right, how about this? So you mentioned what your food would be in a eating competition. My last question for you, also food related. You'll get to know us a little bit. We talk a lot about food on this show. I want to know, it's your last meal. You're eating basically for sport. You're pummeling calories. Like, what is your master's meal, if you will, where you get to put together anything that you want?
You know, like, do I get a drink, appetizer?
Yeah,
entree?
It's your meal, dude. It's yours. Let's do it. Let's let our hair down a little bit here.
So I don't want to plug my own thing because we're in the middle of a labor dispute. Me and Stephen Brault had a podcast a few years ago called IMHO, where we had a discussion about what our last meal would be. What we called it a death row meal. We didn't call it a last meal. We just said, if we're dying tomorrow, we're dying tomorrow.
Yep.
I forget exactly what I said, but it was, we went in depth on about an hour, but I don't know if the episode's up. We had a couple copyright stuff with music and whatnot, but I'll have to,
so relatable.
That's why we're in a labor dispute. We put it to the side, but I forget what I said, but I know donuts were on there. Like a good maple bar is on there. A Wendy's Frosty is something that I can like top off on.
Look at this.
And I want to say I had like pepperoni pizza too. We were kind of all over the place. We had
So you do have a fat guy inside of you somewhere.
Yeah, you're one of us with major league ability.
I think the fat guy is on the outside as well.
No,
I mean, sir.
You're allowed to be fat in pitch, but I wouldn't consider you a fat pitcher. In other words, like me and my friends will play this game all the time where we just try to name fat guys in the big leagues because we're fat and it's fun. But you've never come up. You know, we name like everyone who plays first base for the Brewers basically is always on that list. You know, there's always like random fat guys.
Like
a lot
of Daniel Vogelbach on that list.
Well,
yeah.
But Trevor Williams has never made it.
Well, you'll see why I always wear black, or I always wear the darker colors because it's slimming. So
a lot of vertical stripes.
All my pitching this year is going to be in the dark blues. So you'll see that a lot this year.
Trevor, that's awesome, dude. Thank you so much for joining us, man. Congrats again, and welcome to DC.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Thanks to Trevor Williams for joining us. That was from our DC show, Grant and Danny. We'll be back at it as soon as they do something worth talking about. We're looking forward to that.
I'm sure there'll be like another move, right? Right? No, seriously, right?
I think so. Probably.
Why'd your voice go up?
I think so.
Maybe?
Who put a question mark on the teleprompter? For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bustin' Loose Baseball. We appreciate the work, as always, of our producer on these podcasts, Darris Dameron. Chat with you again soon. Enjoy Nats Baseball.